your Bibles in Psalm chapter 34. If you'd like to turn there, Psalm chapter 34. We'll begin reading at verse 1. And we appreciate each one of you that's come to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Pray that God will help us right here, this service today, that we'll see the glory of God and give honor to the name of Jesus. We'll stand together for the reading of the Word of God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and delivered him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Father, we are thankful this morning that we have this wonderful privilege to worship God. Thank you for bringing us together here in the name of Jesus. Pray that our hearts would be touched this morning, challenged by your word. May we be drawn into the Savior of the world, the one that loved us and gave himself for us. Don't let us leave here like we came, Father. I pray that our lives, not just our minds, but our hearts would be touched and our lives would be changed. God, you do a work in us this morning, a divine work, a work you have planned for us, Lord. I pray that we'd be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I pray that the praises of the Lord would flow from our hearts. Oh God, may it not be something that we have to force out, but I pray that from our hearts we'd appreciate the goodness of God and give glory and honor to his name this morning. And in the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like to preach to you this morning on Walled In by a Heavenly Host. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The Hebrew songwriter composed a song here in which he celebrates the activity of God in delivering him in time of trouble. This psalm is not the celebration of a trouble-free life, but it is a celebration of a life that's been enriched by seeing God's commitment to his people in the time of affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And in verse 7, David states the strong position of the believer. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them, so that this is the position of the believer. We are in the midst of an encampment. We are walled in. God says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them, so that the believer is surrounded by an unbroken wall of divine protection. Some people take this phrase, the angel of the Lord, to refer to Jesus, who in the Old Testament is often called the angel of the Lord in his pre-incarnate appearances. And if so, then the believer is walled in by the presence of God. Others think that this phrase, the angel of the Lord, literally refers to angels, and that the believer is protected by assigned angels. And we know that the scriptures teach that. The writer of Hebrews speaks of angels in Hebrews 1:14. He says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? In 2 Kings chapter 6, we have a story of the king of Syria sending his army to Dothan in Israel after Elisha the prophet, because Elisha is telling all the secrets of the king of Syria, telling where his troops are going and what's going to happen. And so he sends his troops after Elisha. When the prophet's servant wakes up that morning and he sees the city surrounded by the Syrian army, he's dismayed. But Elisha comforts him, saying, "Fear not." Listen to this. "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Then Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes. Let him see." And God opened his eyes, and the Bible says that the servant saw the mountain full of horses and chariots round about Elisha, so that his heart was comforted in knowing that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The truth is that right here in this service, there are many more in attendance than meets the eye. There's a heavenly host in this place this morning that's been assigned to the people of God. We can't see them, but they're here all around. And we're encamped about by a host. Praise God. And this is the position of the people of God. A heavenly host attends to the people of God and defies all the hosts of hell that plots against us. The angel of the Lord camps round about us, those that fear him, and delivers them, so that we are protected by a divine host. When Daniel was convicted of praying to God in Babylon, he was thrown into a den of lions. And he survived the night in the lion's den. And the king, who is disturbed about what he had to do to Daniel, and he came early that morning to the lion's den, and he cried out and said, "Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Daniel said, "Oh, king, live forever." My, it's like a man come back from the dead, a voice from the lion's den. "Oh, king, live forever." He said, "My God hath sent his angel and have shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me." Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, either way you interpret the phrase, "the angel of the Lord," the outcome's the same. God has built around us a hedge of protection. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. We can't see that wall of protection, but I promise you, Satan knows it's there. He knows it's there. When God described Job to Satan, he said, "Hast thou not considered my servant Job, and that he's a perfect man?" He fears God. And isn't that the qualification that we read in this passage of Scripture? The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. And God said about Job that he's a perfect, he's an upright man, he fears God, and he eschews evil. So Job met the condition of my text, and God had him fenced about. Satan said to God, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" He said, "Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house?" Listen to me now. "Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side?" This hedge, what was this hedge? Was this a hedge of angels? The writer in Psalms chapter 91, verse 11 and 12 said, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Brother, not one devil can penetrate the defense that God has surrounded us with. All hell is helpless to violate the safety of the saints of God without heaven's permission. Did you hear me? I said all of hell's legions cannot violate the safety of the people of God without heaven's permission. The angel of the Lord encamps around about us and delivers us. You're safer in the care of God than if the secret service was assigned to you. Praise God. Just one angel could do more than all the secret service could do for you. And God has assigned angels to his people. A heavenly host watches over the people of God. In verse 19, David demonstrates in this passage the fact that God's people, in spite of the fact that they are surrounded and kept hemmed in, walled in, they have frequent times of trouble. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the people of God. So even though our position is strong, we still suffer. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the afflictions only come to us if God allows it. God has to allow it, or Satan cannot touch what belongs to God without God granting him permission. In Job's case, when Satan said, you got a hedge about him, you got a hedge about his house, that is his household, you got a hedge about his possessions, and Satan recognized that. He could not get to Job, could not get to his children, could not get to his possessions. Did you understand that? This is what Satan said himself. This is what he confessed. I can't get to him. I can't get to his children. I cannot get to his possessions. So, unless God gave him permission, not only was Job protected, his family was protected, everything that he owned was protected by God. A hedge about it. Now, I want you to understand something this morning. If you haven't done this already, you better dedicate yourself, your family, and your possessions to God. And be like the early church that the Bible says they called nothing they had their own. It all belonged to God. If it belongs to you, Satan has access. But if it belongs to God, he can only get at it if he gets permission from God. And so, my brother, it pays us to turn loose of everything we've got and give it into the hands of God. Satan has easy access to those things that do not belong to God. You know, there was a missionary I read about. I don't know if I can get this story exactly straight, but he started growing pineapples on the mission field. And the natives started stealing the pineapples. It made the missionary mad. He'd try to punish the natives, and it was hindering his ministry. God began to deal with him, convicted him of his attitude. And so one day, he planted his patch of pineapples. This went on for several years. He planted his patch of pineapples. And he dedicated his patch of pineapples to God and gave the patch to God. Well, when the pineapples got ripe, the natives started stealing the pineapples. And the missionaries said nothing. Well, it got the natives to wondering what's going on. So they came to the missionary and they said, hey, what's happening? Said that people stealing your pineapples. And you're not saying anything. They're puzzled. The missionary said, those pineapples don't belong to me. I gave that patch to God, and those pineapples belong to God, and God can look after his own pineapples. When they heard that, it disturbed the natives. They started leaving the pineapples alone. They said, them pineapples don't belong to the missionary. Those pineapples belong to God. Praise God. So, no more stealing pineapples. Well, brother, dedication to God. Listen to me now. Dedication to God must begin with you. Not what you've got, but with you. It's got to start with you. Nothing you have is truly dedicated to God if you're not. Do you hear me? I said, nothing you have is truly dedicated to God if you're not. Many people desire to dedicate their children to God without dedicating themselves. And this ceremony is just an empty ritual, void of any meaning if that person does not first dedicate themselves to God. Other people desire to dedicate themselves to God and leave the children out of the process. But I want you to understand that whatever is not dedicated to God, Satan has easy access to it. Some people feel like the Jew. He suffered for thousands of years being killed, isolated, persecuted, driven from one country to another. And I believe that this is one reason that God has blessed our nation, is because in the early days of our nation, when the Jew could find no certain resting place for his feet, he found open doors and a welcome mat in the United States of America. He could come here and not be persecuted. He could come here and be welcome. He could come here and be respected in the United States of America. For that reason, the American Jew has been reluctant to pull up their roots and move to Israel, even after Israel was established. And it was only recently that the population of the Jews in Israel surpassed the Jewish population in America, because the Jews have been welcomed in this country. But for their long history, they have been rejected, isolated, persecuted, and killed from country to country. And the Jews, some of them, became very tired of being hated and persecuted. And they sought to protect their children from what's called history's longest hatred, anti-Semitism. So, in these European nations where they were, nations where being a Christian was just a mere formality, they gave their children Christian names, had them baptized by Christian clergymen, not because they believed in it, but merely to give their children a chance to escape the ghetto. They refused to instruct them in the Jewish way of life because they wanted their child to have a chance to succeed in the world, to get an education, to move out of the ghetto, to escape the unrelenting hostility of the whole world against the Jew. The parents continued to bear the stigma, but the child attained a new identity, one that gave him the opportunity to be accepted by the world. This strategy of the Jew often succeeded in elevating the socioeconomic status of the children. But there were consequences to the Jewish community. Often those consequences were very tragic. Are y'all listening to me? These liberated children often became people of influence and power in society. But they now lived and they thought like the dominant society around them. And from these children who had been liberated from the ghetto and who no longer followed the way of life of their ancestors, they became some of the most heartless persecutors of the Jewish people. They despised the traditional way of life of their ancestors, and they hated those who persisted in clinging to their teachings. In Germany, during World War II, some of the most cruel persecutors of the Jewish people were people with Jewish blood in their veins, liberated from that society and now hating it. Likewise, over the years, I have seen people in the house of God, parents who bore the reproach of Christ in their community and on their jobs. They lost their children because they could not bear to see their children suffer with them. And so they sought to cushion their children from the jeers of their peers, allowing their children to conform to the world's demands. I've seen it happen generation after generation. To be accepted by the world, the children had to follow the program of the world. And so Christian parents gave permission to their children to follow the world's pattern of public undressing, gave them unregulated romance, unsupervised, unregulated, no rules, you know, led to disaster. They encouraged them to participate in extracurricular activities at school that interfered with church attendance, associated them with people that introduced them to an entirely different way of thinking about life. Are y'all still here? Listen to me now. Materialism, social mobility, the entertainment sources of the masses mastered our children. And so these children, liberated from the way of thinking and the way of life of their Christian parents, became some of the harshest critics of their parents and the sanctified community that they left behind. I want to exhort you here this morning, hear my plea. Give your children to God. Don't leave your children out of the hands of God. Give your children to God. Let your training be guided by the principles of the Scriptures and not by the demands of a world operating apart from God. If you give your children to the world, listen to me now, if you give your children to the world will welcome them and devour them. It won't easily turn them loose either. For you parents with little ones, I say to you, it is much easier to keep them from the embrace of the world than to win them back when they've already fallen into the embrace of the world. And I'd say at all costs, train those children in the way they should go. Let them know that every soul accepted by the world is rejected by God. For he that is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. So we dedicate our children to God. Listen to me now. Dedicate those children to God, and you will see God work in their lives. I'm telling you, God honors parents that seek to please God in the training they give to their children. For the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, And when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's a wonderful promise given to us. God has said, if you give something to me, I take responsibility for it. Hallelujah. And there is a hedge not only about us, but there's a hedge about our families. And there's a hedge about everything we have. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Satan said, I can't get to Job. I can't get to his children. I cannot get to his possessions. Only by God's permission. Now there are times that God gives permission. And our hedge is breached. And afflictions come to us and to our families. And to our lives. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We all know that. Most of us have lived long enough to know that. That the people of God, their lives are not trouble-free. But at the same time, we understand that God has guaranteed his people deliverance from every affliction. Did you hear what I said? God has guaranteed his people deliverance from every affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. Out of how many of them? Out of them all. God delivers them out of them all. Every child of God can say about every affliction that's come to your life, this affliction will not last forever. This affliction cannot last forever. God has promised me there will be a delivering day. Praise God. And so we meet every challenge with confidence. We meet every trial with confidence. We meet every trouble with confidence that God has assured us our deliverance. And we just wait for that day when God hears and answers our prayers and brings about deliverance for his people. Praise God. Oh, the Lord promised to deliver us out of them all. When we call upon the Lord, angels close ranks around us. Hallelujah. I said, when we call upon the Lord, angels close ranks around us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I say to us here this morning, there are no doubt in this building right here, in every family, afflictions of some kind or another. But when we call upon the Lord, we can be assured that God listens to the cries of his people. And he hears and answers our prayers. And he's given to us provision so that we can be delivered out of every affliction. Sometimes when we are afflicted physically, you know, our bodies begin to wear out. Sickness comes to us. We can't seem to get rid of it. And I heard a song Brother Birdsong M. sang here sometime some years ago. He said, either way, if I'm healed or if I'm not, either way, I'm a winner either way. So for the child of God, there's no way to lose. If I'm healed by the power of God and live on, I'm a winner. But if I die and go to heaven, I am perfectly healed for all eternity and never again to experience any sickness or pain or disease. And I cannot lose as a child of God. And so every child of God has this confidence that God will deliver his people out of every affliction, whether in this life or in the life to come. We cannot lose. Hallelujah. I say the child of God cannot lose. Many are the afflictions of the people of God. We all suffer in life. But we all, as the people of God, we can point to our life and say, right here, God delivered me out of that affliction. And right there, God delivered me out of that affliction. And right there, God came to my rescue. And over again, we can point back in life to where God heard and answered prayer, closed ranks around us, and drove off the vultures of hell, and gave us the victory in every circumstance of life. Now, it'll be victory in whatever you're going through right now, too. I'm telling you, I don't care what hell is doing or what hell is saying. There's victory for you right where you are now. God is going to give you victory in the circumstance you are in right now. Praise God. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. I remember when Brother Steve was so sick, and this came to my mind earlier. I thought of Brother Steve when he was so sick and dying from his cancer. And we were praying, God, heal him. God, deliver him. We were there that night, all during the night, with Sister Frances by his bedside. And he passed away. And maybe somebody mentioned the fact that God just healed him perfectly. Praise God. He was delivered forever from all sickness, pain, disease, never again to suffer, ever again. Now that promise does not belong to everybody. It only belongs to those that fear Him. For when you do not fear God, and you do not honor Him, and you do not reverence Him, life holds not promise, but life holds judgment ahead. Things are only gonna get worse for the unbeliever. But they cannot help but get better for that person who fears the Lord and who is surrounded by a wall of divine protection. Praise God. I want us to stand together this morning while Sister Judy comes to the piano. There may be somebody in this building this morning that you have not yet turned your life over to Jesus Christ. And you are vulnerable this morning to the attacks of Satan. You've not given your family. You've not given your possessions. You're still calling things your own. And Satan has easy access to what you have and what belongs to you. Here's what God is wanting. He's wanting out of you first a dedication of yourself to God. As I preached to you several messages last month, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You'll lay yourself on the altar. It won't be hard to put your family on the altar. It won't be hard to put your possessions on the altar when you put yourself on the altar and say, God, I'm giving you my whole heart, my whole life, everything I am, everything I hope to be. I'm placing it on the altar before you. Maybe there's somebody in this building this morning. You've not done that. You've not yielded everything to Jesus. Jesus is asking for your heart, asking for your life, asking you to dedicate yourself without reserve unto Him. Sing, Sister Judy.